Holding on Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, a little bit past the middle of the Amud, the line begins L'Rabbi.
Which page?
Chaf Gimel Amud Beis.
Chaf Gimel?
Amud Beis, the line begins L'Rabbi. We're holding Amud Ish Lakish. About 20 odd lines from the bottom. Okay, we learned yesterday a machlokas. We learned yesterday, first of all, there's two different avoidus, or two different things that have to be done involving the ashes of the Mizbeach. One of them is Trumas Adeshin, where every day a Kohen goes up there and takes one panful of ashes off the Mizbeach and puts them on the ground next to the Mizbeach. And then you have separately, we say all of these, but we say both of these every day in morning davening. First, we have the Heirim Mesadeshin, that you should lift off some of the ashes in a pan. And then you have the Hoitzia Sedeshin and Mechutz Lamachna. Then you have that he takes out the ashes, meaning they like this, they had after Truma Sedeshin every day, they piled all the ashes into one big pile in the center of the Mizbeach called the Tapuach. And then they would take it out to Yerushalayim, or they would take it outside Yerushalayim, rather. According to the Rambam, they would do that every day except for Yom Tovim. According to Rashi and many other Rishonim, they would do it only when the pile got very full and it was getting in the way of things. Anyway, so we started talking about when the Pasuk says about Hoitzah, about taking the ashes outside Yerushalayim, it uses the expression V'lovash begodim acherim, that he should put on other clothes. So we understood it meant not big de chol. They do have to be big de kohona. What it meant is acherim, meaning of lower quality, ones that are more worn out or ones that were made from not such bright linen in the first place. Good morning, Ellie. We also mention in that connection, we mention Rabbi Eliezer holds that the word acherim actually teaches us that kohenim who are bale mumim are allowed to take the ashes outside of Yerushalayim. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Ish Lakish, so Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, about a little bit past the middle of the Amud. Amar Ish Lakish, ka machloikas b'hitzah, kach machloikas b'harama. You should know, the same machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Eliezer holds that a Baal Mum can do it, and the Chachamim can, and then the Chachamim hold that not, the same machloikas that we have by hitzah, by taking the ashes outside your shalim, kach machloikas b'harama. Rabbi Ish Lakish says, the same machloikas applies to taking the ashes off the Mizbeach, Trumas Adeshin. According to him, Kohen and Bali Mumim can do it also, because it's not considered an Avoda. Rabbi Yechanan says, no, the Machlokas is only as far as taking the ashes outside Yerushalayim, Ava Baharoma, but the Trumas Adeshin, where they just put it on the floor of the Azara, Divrei Hakol, Avoda Hi, then everybody would agree that that's an Avoda, and therefore Kohen Bal Mum can't do it. So the Gemara says, my time is the Rish Lakish. So what's Rish Lakish's reason that he says a Baal Mum could do that, could do even Trumas Adeshin? Omalach, because he would tell you, if you're going to think that Trumas Adeshin is an Avoida, Yeshlacha Avoida Shekshedah B'Shnei Kelim, is there such a thing as an Avoida that is kosher with two kelim, with two clothes? Now, we know the kohenim usually wear four clothes for their avoda, but here, what does the pasuk say about Trumas Adeshin? The lovash kohen midoy vad, the kohen should wear his ksonis, midoy mean literally means his measurement, but it means the ksonis, which is size to him, of linen, umichnesei vad yobash abasore, and he should wear linen pants on his flesh. So it only mentions two clothes, it only mentions two items of clothing. So therefore, the Shlokish says, the Pasuk is evidently implying that for Trumas Adeshin, you only need two items of clothing. Well, if that's the case then obviously it's not an avoda, because any avoda requires four kelim. So therefore, says Rish Lakish, that goes to show that it's not really an avoda. Therefore,
if it's not an avoda, why should a Kohen do it in the first place?
So Tosfos talks about that you could. And first of all, Tosfos says you could ask the other way around. Why should it need big de kohona at all? Okay, gzeres akasov. Yeah. Listen, you're allowed to wear big de kohona, not during the time of the avoda as well. Gzeres akasov that you have to wear some. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan would say that, no, you have to wear all four kelim for both. And we're going to say in a second why, according to him, it mentions only two.
But regardless of the begadim, why should a Kohen do something that's not an avoda? It's a plain question.
Right. So Tosfos goes on to say that it's obvious that a zor doesn't go and do avodas on the mizbeach. So you would think that, and in fact, you would think that a bal mum would be on the same level. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, in fact, that would be why the Tanakhama says he's possible. It's true. According to Rish Lakish, it's not really an avoida. Nevertheless, even things that are not an avoida, if they're taking place on the Mizbeach, which this is, taking the pan full of ashes or taking all of the ashes, then it's enough that's reason enough that a Zoro Baal Mum can't do it. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would take the view, at least with Hotzah, and again, according to Rish Lakish's understanding of him, also with Haroma, that the very fact that we don't need the full set of big dekona shows, therefore, that it's not really an avoida. So fine, a regular zor, I can agree, is not going to, but a bal mum, who is, after all, a kohen, should be able to do it. So what is Rabbi Yochanan? What is Rabbi Yochanan answer to that? He says, Gali rachmona b'ksonos mechasayim v'hu adilam, it's nefes v'avnei. As a matter of fact, the Pasuk tells us that the Ksonis and the Mechnasayim, but it's not meant to be only those two. It does mean he has to wear the Mitznefes and he has to wear the Avnet as well. He does have to wear this full set of four. So then, Umayshnohani, so in that case, why does the Torah single out only these two? So the Shlokish would say that means he only has to wear two. But Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't accept that, who says that it means that you have to wear all four. So according to him, why does it mention those two? Because we learn things from them. Midoi bad, when it says that he should wear his midoi, which means his ksonis made out of linen, that means midoi means kimidosai. That means it should be exactly sized to him. So you want to have the ksonis should not be, the hem of the ksonis should not be dragging on the ground. It shouldn't be higher up. It should be sized to him exactly so that it exactly touches the floor. So by saying the word midoy, the Torah is telling us that concept. And michnasei vad, and why does it mention the michnasayim? L'chidatanya, that's to teach us what it says in a braisa. Minayin shelo yehei dava kodem l'michnasayim. How do we know that among the big kahuna, there shouldn't be anything before the Michnasayim, Shenemo, Michnasei Vad Yubashal Basore, the Pasuk says you should wear pants of linen on his flesh, on his skin, obviously he wears it on his skin. There's no other big tikkunah that go underneath it. So we learn from that, therefore, that he wears it, that he puts it on when there's nothing on him but his skin. In other words, when he's otherwise not wearing anything. Now, we're going to learn later on, we're going to learn about the Seder of dressing the Kohenim. It wasn't like they're standing in the Azara naked. That would be very unsneistic. What it means is they're wearing big day chol, they're wearing their regular daily clothing, which includes also a ksonis, the common kind of dress that people wore in those days was a long shirt that went to somewhere below their knees. So they would put on the michnasayim below that. So at that point, the michnasayim is the only item of big kahuna that they're wearing. Then they would take off their regular ksonis, their regular personal ksonis, and put on the one of big kahuna and continue with the other begadim. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that's why it says, midoy bad, michnasei vad, yubashav soroy, is to teach us those dinim, but not to say that it's only those two items that he wears for Trumas Hadeshi. Rish Lakish, what is Rish Lakish answer to that? He said, he after all agrees with those Jerushas. He says, I agree that midoy kimidosoy, it's true the word midoy means that the ksonis has to be exactly sized to fit him, but the fact is, the Torah could have said, but the fact of the matter is, the Torah is mentioning only the ksonis. The reason why midi apke rachmana baloshin midoy, all it is because the Torah phrased it with the word midoy rather than the word ksonis. That means that means that it should be exactly sized to him. And shaloya hejava kodin mechnasayim me'al b'sarei nafka. As far as the second thing, that the mechnasayim have to be put on before anything else. That we learn from the extra word al besorei, where it could have just said umichasei vad yobash. So in other words, according to Rish Lakish, it's true we do have those drushas, but the Torah didn't have to phrase the psukim the way it did in order for us to learn the drushas. If it was just meant to say that we wear all four big dekona, so therefore it must be that it is in fact telling us that you wear only two. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Name a katanoi." Can we say that this machlokas of Rosh Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is the same as a machlokas tanoim? Because a brisa says, when it says al basaroi, mau tam al basaroi, the pasuk says in connection, the pasuk says again in this connection that he should wear michnas evad al basaroi on his skin. So ma tam lami yulbash. So what is the word yulbash? Michnas evad yulbash al basaroi. What is the word yulbash adding? Obviously, if it's on his skin and he's wearing it. Lahavi mitznefes va'avdit laharama divir Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that comes to add not only the two begadim that it mentions over here, but also the mitznefes and also the avnet that he has to wear those for Trumas Hadeshin. Divir Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Dosa ima l'rabbis big the kohen god of Yom Kippurim shakshayim l'kohen hadyet. Rabbi Dosa says no. And the word yilbash over here is actually teaching us something in a different context. You have also by the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur. It says yilbash. So therefore, Reb Dosa is saying that it means that the clothes that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur are kosher afterwards for a Kohen Hedyot to wear throughout the year. Now, we have the Kohen Gadol wears Big Day Lavan. He wears at various points in the Avodah when he's going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he wears the white garments, which are the same as the garments of the Kohen Hedyot. So therefore, now the Chachamim hold, as we're going to say soon, that those garments that he wore, those four begadim that he wore on Yom Kippur have to be hidden away, and nobody's ever allowed to wear them. But Abdosa disagrees with that and says that a Kohen Hedyot could wear them throughout the year. And he says you learn that from the word Yobash. So on the face of it, in other words, as the Gemara is going to say soon, so on the face of it, then the Tanakh, Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying Lahavi mitznefes va'avnet, holds like Rabbi Yochanan that you need all four begadim. But Pashtos, he would also say, therefore, that a Baal Mum can't do it, because if it's considered an avoda and requires all four begadim, then as usual, a Baal Mum can't do an avoda. Whereas Rabbi Dosa, who's not learning that, apparently, according to him, you only need the two begadim, and if you only need the two begadim, then there's more reason to say that it's not an avoda, and if it's not an avoda, then a Baal Mum could do it, which would be like Rish Lakish. And the bright, but before we get to that, let's finish the bright. The Gemara continues quoting the rest of the Braisa. Omar Rebbe Shtei Truvas Badover. Rebbe says, I have two contradictions against what Rabbi Dosa is saying. Chada de Avneta Shokoin Gadol Loizehu Avnet Shokoin Hedit. Number one, you're saying that the four begadim of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur are the same as the four begadim of the Kohen Hedit throughout the year. There is not, because the Avnet is different. We learned before on Daf Yud Beis, we had a machlokas about the we know that the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is pure linen. We know that the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol the rest of the year is kilayim, is a mixture of wool. And as a mixture of linen and various kinds of colored wool, tchelas va'agaman, etc. What about the avnet of the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year? We had a machlokas about it. So Rebbe is holding, according to the opinion, that the avnet of the Kohen Gadol throughout of the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year is also multicolored and made of shatnez. So therefore, it's different than the one of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So you can't say that the begadim of the Kohen Gadol from Yom Kippur can be used by the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year, because the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year doesn't wear the same kind of avnet. That's one thing, Rebbe says. Va'oid, and another problem I have with Rabdos's opinion, begadim shenishtamash behen kedusha chamura tishtamash behen kedusha kala. You're telling me that clothes that were used for a higher level of kedusha for the Kohen Gadol to do the avoda in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're going to tell me that now we're going to be allowed to use those clothes for a lesser level of kedusha for a Kohen Hedyot who does his avoda in the Azora and in the Heichol? It doesn't work. Ela matam leima yilbash. However, Rebbe says, I do agree that the word yilbash is not including the mitznefes in the avnet. However, I would say that the word yilbash in connection with Trumas Hadeshin, l'rabas is a shchokim, would come to include worn out bigdei kohanah. So as long as they're not actually ripped or dirty or whatever, then a kohen is allowed to wear them, even though they is allowed to not only for Trumas Hadeshin, but for any other avoda, then he'd be allowed to wear them. We learn that from the word yilbash. So on the face of it, we have a machlokas tanoim. We have Rabbi Yehuda saying that you need all four, and Rabbi Dosa and Rebbe saying that you need only two. And before we continue with that, the Gemara, by the way, mentions Where does Reb Dosa versus the Chachamim get their different opinions of about what we do with the clothes of the Kohen Gadol after Yom Kippur? Rashi, by the way, it seems is not Gurdus all of this because he says that it's not really relevant over here in our sugya, but we have it over here in front of us in the Gemara anyway. So let's learn it. The pasuk says Vihinicham Sham. The pasuk says after the Kohen Gadol changes out of his big day lavan, he should leave them there. Melamach to unim gniza. So the Tanakama of this Braisa says that means that they require gniza. They have to be hidden away, and nobody is ever allowed to wear them again. Which, by the way, this is a braisa that comes from Todas Koyanim, that comes from Sifra, on the pasuk in the pasuk in Achrimos, and Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. And just like Stam Mishnah Rameir, Stam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, the Tanakama of that braisa is Rabbi Yehuda, the same Rabbi Yehuda who said before that the lavash means that you need to wear all four clothes, and he doesn't learn from the lavash that you can reuse the same clothes of the Kohen Gadol. Reb Dosa, I'm a Ruin Haim LeKohen Hedyot. Reb Dosa says that no, those clothes are suitable for a Kohen Hedyot because he disagrees. He learns from the word Yilbash, as we said. Also, he said he disagrees with Rebbe and says the avnate of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is the same as the avnate of the Kohen Hedyot throughout the year. So therefore, they could be used by a Kohen Hedyot. So Reb Dosa says, what do we do with the words v'hinicham sham? Means just means the Kohen Gadol himself can't use them on another Yom Kippur, but a Kohen Hedyot could use them throughout the year. As far as the avnate, he doesn't have a problem because he holds the same avnate. And as far as Kedusha Chamura and Kedusha Kala, he's not concerned about that either. So now that we understand the different opinions, Ma'ilav b'hokamiflugi, isn't that the underlying machlokas then? Demar sover avoidehi. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda holds that truma sadeshin and hotzah, that a truma sadeshin at least is considered a full-fledged avoidah. Therefore, you need four big dekohona for it, and therefore that would mean also. So that would be like Rabbi Yehuda, and that you need four big dekohona, and then that would relate back to the machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer whether a balmum could do it. Whereas Reb Dosa would hold it's not an avoida. Therefore, according to him, the word yilbash is not teaching us that you need the other two begadim. In fact, you only need the two that are mentioned in the pasuk, the ksonis and the michnasayim. And according to him, so that would be like Rish Lakish. And then we could say that. According to Rish Lakish's understanding of Reb Eliezer, even a balmum could do turmas adeshin because not really considered an avoida. So the Gemara says loy, not necessarily is that the same machlokas. The kulei alma avoidehi. Everybody, both Reb Yehuda and Reb Dosa, might hold that truma sadeshin is an avoida. V'hocha b'hocha mifli. Rather, the machlokas would be as follows: Mar savat tzricha kro l'rabuyi. Reb Yehuda would say that you need the word yilbash to be marbe to include the other two items, because without that, you in fact wouldn't know that you should have the other two. You would think, like Rish Lakish is saying, that you need only the two. Whereas Reb Dosa would hold that you don't even need a posik to tell us. Once it says that you need the ksonas and the mechnasayim, automatically that means you need all four, because those two are big tikkuna. There's no logical reason why you would need two of the big tikkuna and not two others, says Reb Dosa. Therefore, automatically it means all four, and therefore he has the word yobash available to teach us about the begadim of Yom Kippur. So it could be that both of them are agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan that in fact you need all four kelim in order to do truma sedeshin, and not like Rish Lakish. The Rambam, in fact, paskins like Rabbi Yochanan that you do need all four of them. Okay. Next topic, also about truma sedeshin. Boy Rab Ovin, truma sedeshin bekama. How much of the ashes have to be taken off the mizbeach? We're calling it truma sedeshin, which means it has to be like a truma in a certain sense. So which kind of truma are we learning it from? Mitrumas meiser yofin in law. Are we going to learn it from trumas meiser? Here it says veherim esadeshin. By trumas meiser, you have the expression v'harim moisim mimenu, which would be 1/10. So therefore, it means that the kohen has to estimate how much ashes are there and take about 1/10 of it. Or maybe do we learn it from Trumas Midian. You have the spoils from Midian, where it says afterwards that they divided the spoils in half. Half went to the soldiers, half went to the rest of the Jewish people, and each half had to give a portion. The soldiers had to give 1/50th of their had to give 1/500th of their portion to the Kohanim, and the Tzibur had to give 1/50th of their portion to the Levim. So which one are we learning it from? Rashi says we would learn from the 500, from what the soldiers give. Tosfos says actually maybe not. Maybe we'd learn from what the Tzibur gave, which would be 1/50th. Whatever. So is it 1/10th or 1/500th or 1/50th? Tosfos and Tosfos Yeshanim asked, why don't we think to learn from Truma Gedola, which is about 2%? So Tosfos says because it never uses the word harama in connection with truma. It says reishis degoncha titen loy, but it doesn't use a form of the verb of the verb harama. What about chala? What about chala? Tosfos says, but by chala it uses the expression torimu, so maybe that's too dissimilar. Vahare moisem or vahare moisa, which is talking about trumas meiser or the truma of Midian, are similar enough to the harem that maybe we could make a gzeira shava between them. But torimu that it says by chala is not really similar enough. And Tosfos goes on with a bit more discussion of the topic. But that's the question. In other words, that Tosfos Yeshanim puts it differently. I mean, Truma Gedola and Chala Minat Torah, there's no minimum shiur for them at all. Only Midrabanan are there minimum shiurim for them. So why don't we say from that it could be any amount of ashes? And then Tosfos Yeshanim says The assumption is it needs some kind of shear. So it can't be like truma and chala, where there's no. So Tosfos, the regular Tosfos printed on the side of the Gemara, says we're not learning from truma because it doesn't use the word harama in connection with it at all, and we're not learning from chala because it uses the word torimu, which is distinctly different. But Tosfos Yeshanim is saying rather that it's an obvious thing that there has to be some kind of shiur for Trumas Hadeshen. So therefore, we can't learn from those which have no shiur minat Torah. Rather, it has to be that we're learning from either Trumas Meiser or Trumas Midian, both of which have a shiur. So let's bring a proof to Tani Rav Chiya. We're not going to learn from either one, actually. Nemer kan v'heirim v'nemer lahalim v'heirim. Over here it says v'heirim es Hadeshen. By the koimetz of a mincha, it says v'heirim mimenu b'kumtzoi, malahalan b'kumtzoi, afkan b'kumtzoi. So just like over there, it means to take a handful. The same way over here, it means to take a handful. Now, of course, the difference is, when the mincha is cold, you can take an actual handful of it. The ashes for Trumas Hadeshen, you have live coals over there that you have to dig around in and get the ones that are almost ashes. So obviously, you can't take them with your bare hands. So what it means, in fact, that may be why Rav Oven didn't even think to learn from there, even though it's the identical word veheirim, because it's physically impossible to take a handful of the coals. But now Rav Chiya is telling us that in fact that is where we learn it from. One explanation the Ritva says is because we would not only because the word veheirim is identical, unlike the other ones, but because we would rather learn from something in connection with the mizbeach. Trumas Hadeshen and the koimetz of the mincha both go on the mizbeach. So therefore, it doesn't mean you take exactly a koimetz, and obviously you're not taking it with your bare hands. It means that means he has to estimate that he takes at least a koimetz. And if he ends up taking more than that, then it's not a big deal. Which again is another reason why Rav Oven might have thought not to learn it from there, because by the mincha, it has to be exactly a koimetz, no more, no less. Here we're saying a koimetz is the minimum amount. But that's what it is. In other words, so we are learning from the word veheirim in connection with the mincha that it has to be at least a koimetz of ashes. It could be more if he wants. Okay. Another discussion. Amar Rav. Now, we said before that if a zor does avoida, then he's chayev misa. But we're going to say now that does not apply to all avoidas. It is true that a zor is warned in the Torah with a lav to do any avoida in the Bais Mikdash, but there are only certain avoidas where he's going to be chayev misa. Arba avoidas zor chayev alein misa. There's only four avoidas for which. And now, when we say four avoidas, each of them is a general category. So, or many of them are general categories. And we're going to mention that some of them include, for example, the first one is zrika. It doesn't just mean sprinkling blood on the mizbeach. We're going to say soon it also includes, for example, sprinkling the oil that a mitzvah brings with his karbanis. But the point is there's four types of things for which a zor is chayv misa. Zrika, sprinkling, blood or oil or whatever, vak Torah, burning things on the Mizbeach, v'nisuch hamayim, pouring water on the Mizbeach, v'nisuch hayayin, and pouring wine on the Mizbeach. Tosfos and Tosfos are trying to wonder, why are we listing those two separately? The same way as Zrika includes many different kinds of Zrikas, why don't we just say Nisuch and include any kind of Nisuch? So Tosfos says because Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayin are independent things, they come on their own. Tosfos Yishanim says there are different seasons, actually, that the wine is every day and the water is only during Sukkot, so therefore it lists them separately. Regular Tosfos says that the reason rather is because Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayin are something important, as opposed to Hazois. Each time there's a Hazah, there's some kind of korban involved, so therefore we put them all under one category, whereas Nisuch HaMayim is by itself during Sukkot. I mean, it's brought during the korban tamid, but in principle it's something independent of the korban tamid, and the Nisuch HaYayin the same way. It's possible to have yayin brought by itself on the Mizbeach, therefore we list them separately. Okay, so that's Rab. The Levi Omer af Trumas HaDeshen. Levi says also Trumas HaDeshen, which is how this ties into what we were talking before about Trumas HaDeshen. So Levi says that if a Zor does Trumas HaDeshen, then he's Chayv Misa. V'chein Toni Levi B'mas Nisei. In fact, Levi taught like that in the collection of Braises that he made af Trumas HaDeshen, that a fifth one that a Zor would be Chayv Misa for is Trumas HaDeshen. Okay, my time of the Rav. Why does Rav say only those four types of Avodas? Because you have the pasuk goes like this: Va'ato v'necha itcha. Hashem says to Aaron, "You and your sons with you, tishmeru as kohenaschem. You should guard your kohona, meaning, in other words, don't allow other people to do the avoda. L'chol dvar hamizbeach, regarding any matter involving the mizbeach, or mibeis laparechas, or anything within the parechas, meaning in the kodesh hakadoshim. Va'avadtem, and you should do the avoda." Avoidas matona etenes kohenaschem. The pasuk continues, I'm making your kohona an avoider of matona. Now, the simple meaning, in other words, Hashem says, I'm giving it to you as a gift. But we're understanding for purposes of the halacha that the word matona over here means it has to be an avoider that involves putting something down, not removing something. So matona, like putting, melosh nosam. So not, in other words, trumas hadeshen, for example, which involves removing the ashes from the mizbeach. So that's avodas matana, v'loy avodas siluk. It can't be an avoda that involves removing things. A zor is not chayiv misafor. And when the pasuk says va'avadtem, we darish in that avoda tama. I mean, we break up the word va'avadtem means it has to be a complete avoda, meaning an avoda which finishes off the thing that we're dealing with. There's no other avoda after it. For example, Rashi says, let's say, for example, the shchita of a korban. Now, technically, why Rashi is mentioning shchita is a question in itself, because shchita is, in fact, kosher bazaar. And then there's a good deal of discussion about that. But anyway, let's say, for example, shchita or kabbalah or halacha. None of those are the last avoda that's done with the blood, because it still needs to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. But zrika itself is the last avoda that's being done with the blood. Haktorah is the last thing we're doing with that thing that's being burnt on the mizbeach, and the same thing with the other two. So therefore, it has to be avoda tama, v'lay avoda shiyesh achrei avoda, not an avoda that has to be followed by another one. So that is why Rav would say, so for example, a zor is not allowed to do the kabbalah or the halacha, but if he does, then he's not chayiv misa for it. He's not chayiv misa b'deshamayim, because those are not avoda tama. And as far as Trumas HaDeshen, he's not chayev because for a different reason, because Davoidas Siluk. So it has to be, according to Rav, both things. Davoidas Matona, an avoida that involves putting something, not taking away, and an avoida that's the last one in its sequence. That was Trumas HaDeshen. No, so that's according to Rav. What we're talking about over here is if a Zor were to do Trumas HaDeshen, would he be chayev misa b'dei shamayim? Rav is saying no. Why? It's an avoda tama. It's the last avoda with those ashes. But it's an avoda siluk. It's an avoda that involves taking something off the mizbeach rather than putting it on. It's not so much the fact that it's the first avoda of the day. It's the fact that it's the last thing that's done with those particular ashes. Now, mind you, I mean, it's true that there is another avoda later on done with the ashes, because after Tosfos Yishanim points out that later on, I mean, there is Hatzas Adeshen. Again, eventually the rest of the ashes on the Mizbeach has to be carried outside Yerushalayim. But this particular panful of ashes that we're putting next to the Mizbeach, this is the last avoda that's done with it. So therefore, it can be called avoda sil. It can be called avoda tama, but it's avoda siluk. It's an avoda that involves removing something from the mizbeach rather than an avoda that involves putting something down. And therefore, according to Rab, the pasuk is excluding it from misa b'dei shamayim by using the words avoda smatana. Not everybody agrees. Rashi says it got swallowed into the ground. Tosfos says that it doesn't. But that's not the point. The point is, according to Rab, if a zor did trumas adeshen, then he's not chayv misa for it. Whereas Levi holds he is. The Levi, what would Levi answer to that? He would say, Ravi Rachmana l'chol dvar ha-mizbeach. Yeah, but the Pasuk also has a ribui saying that anything, any matter of the Mizbeach, so he agrees it needs to be avoda tama. He agrees it needs to be the last one in its sequence. But he says, I don't care whether it's avoda siluk or not. The fact that it's an avoda involving the Mizbeach is enough reason to make it a chayiv misa. So therefore, yes, Trumas Hadeshen would be included. So Vidrav, what would Rav answer to that? He would say, Rav would say that the words L'chol Dvar HaMizbeach comes to include the sprinklings of blood that are done inside the Heichel, and also the sprinklings that are done of the oil of the Metzora. Rashi uses the expression over here that the sprinkling of the oil of the Metzora is also done inside the Heichel. Not everybody agrees to that. There are Rishonim who learn that he stands in the Azora and sprinkles in the direction of the Heichel. And in fact, the Siach Yitzchok on Or Masechta says that maybe that's what Rashi means. Rashi uses the expression Shemazim Milug Shemen Ba Heichel. Maybe he doesn't mean in the Heichel. Maybe he just means in the direction of the Heichel. Whatever the case, anyway, the point is that Rav would say like this. The Pasuk had only mentioned things involving the Mizbeach and things involving the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So how would you know that that this is not Dvar HaMizbeach? These are not things that take place on the Mizbeach, and they're not things that take place behind the Pareches. So we need a ribui to tell us that a zo would be chayev for doing those. That when we say hazois, we mean those hazois as well. So we need the ribui for that. We don't have it available to teach us that he'd be chayev for avoda siluk. Vilevi, what does Levi answer to that? He says nafka le midvar v'chol dvar. He says fine, but the pasuk could have said dvar hamizbeach, and it says l'chol dvar hamizbeach. So the kol is a ribui. V'rav dava v'chol dava le'darish. Whereas Rav says we're not learning anything extra from the word kol. Now, not that he doesn't darish in the word kol at all. Everybody always darishes the word kol. What it means is he says it's all part of the same ribui that when it says l'chol dvar hamizbeach means any of these things that we just mentioned, any of these hazois that we just mentioned, that a zo would be chayev for those, but not to say that we're being marba a separate thing from that, like Levi would say. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Ve'ema l'chol dvar hamizbeach klal." In that case, why don't we say that we learned the word l'chol dvar hamizbeach would be a klal, avodas matona prat, and then when the pasuk continues, avodas matona, which, as we said, means only an avoda that involves placing something on the mizbeach, not something that taking off. So then we would say prat. So then klal prat ein b'chlal ela mashab prat, avodas matona ein avodas silukloi. So even according to Levi, we should derive that an avodas siluk is not included by way of a klal prat. The answer is omakra, because it can't do that, because the pasuk says only base the parochas va'avadim, because the pasuk continues what's inside the parochas, because in between the klal and the prat you have the words only base the parochas va'avadim, what's within the parochas, meaning on Yom Kippur, for example, when the Kohen Gadol goes and sprinkles the blood on al bein abadim, so and putting the ketores over there, so elmi base the parochas u'davodas matana v'lo yavodas siluk. So Levi would say what the Torah is telling us is that when do we apply avodas matana, the prat, which is avodas matana, only when we're talking about mibes laparechas inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So now, b'chlal, if a zor goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's chayiv misa for it anyway. But let's say he went in there b'shoigig. So therefore, so he's not chayiv misa for that. But now, while he was in there, he did the avoda. He sprinkled the blood or he burnt the ketores. So now, on the other hand, you have avoda siluk. There was an avoda siluk with the Kodesh HaKadoshim as well, namely later in the day. The Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim again to remove the kaf and machta, the spoon and the pan that he brought in there earlier. do that day. So then, only when it's within the parochas, only when it's in the Kodesh Kedoshim, are we going to distinguish between Avodas Matona and Avodas Siluk and say that the Zohar would be Chayev Misa for doing the Avodas Matona, for example, burning the Ketores there or sprinkling the blood, but not the Avodas Siluk, removing the Kaf and Machta. At Ha-Bachutz, but Levi would say, the implication is anywhere outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Afilu Avodas Siluk. Then even Avodas Siluk, even something that involves removing, he would also be Chayiv Misa for, namely Trumas Hadeshen. So there you go. So Levi says, so you're arguing that Avodas Siluk shouldn't be included on the grounds of the words Avodas Matana, but Levi says that Avodas Matana is referring only to what it said right before it, only based on Parechas, only within the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Otherwise, Avodas Matana or Avodas Siluk, it doesn't matter. As far as that you want to learn it from a Klal Prat, the Klal Prat is broken up by those words, only based on Parechas.
But it says that
So according to Levi, we don't care. Well, according to Levi, we do care whether it's the end avoda in its sequence or not. He does agree it does have to be the last one in its sequence with this particular thing. So for example, that's what we said. Let's say, for example, according to Levi, if a Zohar does Kabbalah Saddam, then he wouldn't be Chayiv Misa, because that's not avoda tama. There's avoda sheyesh acharei avoda. But no, it doesn't. In the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the sprinkling of the blood, that's it. You sprinkle the blood and that's it. Kaf and Machta is not burning the Ketores in there is an avoda of itself. Later on, you have to go and remove the Kaf and the Machta, but that doesn't make it not avoda tama. So the Gemara asks Ihochi, if you're going to learn like that, then va'avadtem nami, then why doesn't Levi say the same thing on the word va'avadtem? Elmi based the parechas hu da'avoda tama, v'loy avoda she'esh achare avoda. Only within the Kodesh HaKadoshim does it have to be avoda tama, the last one in its sequence. So for example, putting the Ketores on the fire, that's the last thing we're doing with that Ketores. Ha'bachutz, but implying that anywhere outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, afilu avoda she'esh achare avoda. Then even if an avoda is followed by another avoda, Levi would still say a person is chayiv misa for it. So why doesn't he say that? The answer is va'avadem hodo arve kra. Because since the pasuk puts the word va'avadem at the end, then that combines everything back together. Because the word va'avadem vav moisif al inyan rishon. But avodas matana, there's no vav in it. So therefore, so Levi, in other words, parses the pasuk as follows: tishmurus kunaschem ochot vanam is beach. When it comes to within the base of parechas, when it comes lachod vadam isbeach or the base of parechas, va avadem. Regardless, the avoda always has to be avoda tama because the vav adds that whether it's mi base of parechas or whether it's in connection with the isbeach, it has to be va avadem. But then the pasuk continues without a vav, avodas matana etenes kunaschem. So Levi would say avodas matana refers back only to the last place that we said, namely the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Only then is there a difference between Avodas Matona and Avodas Siluk. But outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, no, even Avodas Siluk is Chayiv Misa. Okay. Boy Rav. So now Rava asks like this. What about Avodas Siluk Behechel now? What about when you have an Avodas Siluk that takes place in the Hechel? So you have things in the Hechel also where there's Avodas that involve removing things. So according to Levi, again, according to Rav, there's no question. According to him, you always have to have, if it's Avodas Siluk, then the Zohar is not Chayiv Misa for it anyway. But according to Levi, who says that Avodas Siluk is Chayiv Misa unless it's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what would he say as far as the Hechel? Now, for example, you have cleaning off the Mizbeach HaPnimi, which is the last thing you're doing with cleaning off the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Taking off the ashes and then burnt Ketores from the day from earlier, yeah. Or dishuna menorah, cleaning out the menorah. So according to Levi, so on the one hand, those are avodas siluk. On the other hand, those are in the hechel. So mahu lefnim midaminen lei lachutz midaminen lei. Do we compare it to inside in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And therefore Levi would agree he's not chayiv misa because it's avodas siluk. Or would he compare it to outside in the azara in connection with the mizbeach? And therefore he'd be chayiv misa. The Gemara says Hoder Poshta. Later on, Rava was able to answer his own question. Because the pasuk says me. The pasuk could have said me base the parochas, and instead it says ulemi base. So therefore, we learn from that that yes, it includes places inside the Heichal as well. So the word Ulami Beis teaches us that the Heichal is like the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Levi would agree that those Avodis, cleaning off the Mizbeach HaPnimi, or cleaning out the menorah, then a Zohar would be Potter, or Zohar would be Potter for Potter because it's Avodis Silu. A Zohar would be Potter for them because. That's the thing. Now we're saying the word Ulami Beis means not only the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but also the Heichal. Okay. So Elameata. So okay, now because it could have said mi base and it says uli mi base. So the Vav and the Lamed teach us this as well. Yeah. Okay. Well, so no, so it still comes out that Levi and Rav are arguing about Truma Sadeshin. Again, according to Rav, that yeah, well, because it's Avodah Siluk and it's outside on the Mizbeach. So Rav would pater him because it's Avodah Siluk, and Levi would be Mechayev him because outside the Heichel, he doesn't care whether it's Avodah Siluk or not. Yeah. So, okay, so now let's go through some other Avodahs that take place in the Heichel and see Elameata by the logic that we're saying now that in the Heichel, it has to be Avodah Tama and not Avodah Siluk, or Avodah Matana, or even according to Levi. Zor Shasidur is a Shulchan Mechayev. If a Zor set up the Lachem Aponim on the Shulchan, then he should be Chayev, because after all, that's an Avodah Matana. Tosfos wonders. I mean, who's the question? Who's the question according to? The question doesn't seem to fit specifically according to Rav or according to Levi. So Tosfos says like this: we said before that Rav and Levi both agree that a zor is chayev for zrika. Now, when you think about it, zrika is the last thing that's done with the blood of the korban. But the korban as a whole, there's still other things to be done. You still have to burn the parts of the korban on the mizbeach. So. Tosfos asks this in connection with later on about the Ma'arocha, so we'll get to that. So, okay, so right now the question is, if we're saying that a Zor is Chayev for Avodas Matana, and as long as it's Avodah Tama, on the face of it, setting up the Shulchan is an Avodah Tama. You set up the Lechem Aponim on the Shulchan, and that's it. That's the last thing that's done with it for a week. The answer is, Ikasidur Bazichin. There's not just putting the lechem upon him on, you also have to put the bazichim, the two spoonfuls of lavoina, have to go on the shulchan as well. Without them, the table is not completely set up. And for that matter, also those bazichi lavoina, unless that lavoina is burnt on the mizbeach, you can't eat the lechem upon him. So therefore, so lechem upon him without bazichin is not complete. At the end of the week, on the next Shabbos, they would take the bazichim, they would burn the lavoina on the mizbeach, and then they would replace the lechem aponim and the bazichim for the following week. Yeah. So the answer is ikas sidur bazichim. You still have the setting up of the bazichim, which the Zohar didn't do. Okay, sidur bazichim l'chayev. Fine. So if he set up the bazichim, why isn't he chayev? The answer is ikas siluk v'aktara, because that's not the last thing we do. Later on, the following week, you have to take the lavoina and the lechem aponim off, and you have to burn the lavoina. So it's true, Akhtara is going to be chayev. What we said before, Akhtara was one of the four things that Rav listed. But everything up until that point is not Avodah Tama. Because everything that you do, the putting on the lachem upon him, the putting on the bazichin, and the taking them off, none of those are Avodah Tama. Because all of those, there's still another step to be done. The chalas are given out among the kohenim. No, the chalas themselves, nothing goes in there, only the levoina. Okay, what about another one? Zor shesidur is a menorah l'chayev. Why don't we say that if a zor set up the menorah, and when we say set up, we don't mean put oil and wicks in, that we're going to describe soon. What we mean is, Rashi says, the lamps of the menorah, not just cleaning them out. We mentioned before cleaning them out, and we said that is considered an avodah tama, but it's avodah siluk. No, what we're talking about over here, Rashi explains, the cups of the menorah were removable. So they would remove them from the menorah, and clean them, and now they have to be put back. So if a zor puts the cups back, shouldn't he be chayev? The answer is that's not the last thing. Ikanisinas psila. The next thing that has to be done is put in a wick. Okay, nosan psila lichayev. So fine, if he puts in a wick, why isn't he chayev? The answer is ikanisinas shemen, because you still have to put in oil as well. Fine, nosan shemen lichayev. Why don't we say he's chayev if you put in oil? The answer is ikad loka. The final thing is you have to light it. So now the question is hidlik lichayev. So in that case, if a zor lights the menorah, he should be chayev. Why was that not on Rav's list before? The answer is hadlaka lav avodah. The answer is hadlaka, lighting the menorah, is not considered an avodah. Now, why is it not considered an avodah? A couple of reasons that Rishonim give. One of them is because you need shalheves olam eileh. The flame has to go up on its own, which means, in other words, you're touching the match or whatever it is to light it, but the actual lighting takes place on its own. It starts burning on its own. No, not a fire comes down Minashamayim, but just practically speaking, when you light any candle, you strike the match. That's an action. But afterwards, the fire starts burning and continues burning on its own. Fine, but the point is, in other words, there's not really. So that's one reason. Another reason that's given is because what you're lighting with, after all, is a flame. A flame is not something substantial. It has no mamashos. We said the other day the fire on the mizbeach had mamashos, but regular fire, including the fire that they're lighting the menorah with, has no mamashos. It's heated air. So therefore, you can't say that you lighting the menorah amounts to that you actually did something, that you actually did something, because what you did with is something insubstantial. Yeah, but no, what we're saying is, in other words, that you're lighting the menorah, but the lighting takes place using a flame, which is something insubstantial. Yeah, of course. Aaron has the... Fine. But nevertheless, we're still saying, in that sense, it's not really considered a full-fledged avoida. Which then, in that case, obviously the question is, then in that case, shouldn't the next to last thing, putting in the oil in that case, or putting in the wick, should count as avoida tama? And the answer is, because after all, in one, we're saying that lighting the menorah is not an avoida, but on the other hand, in a certain sense, it is an avoida. It's just, it's an avoida that's not an avoida, sort of. So therefore, so you can't say the last thing before it should be considered avoida tama. After all, the purpose of putting in the oil and the wick is to be able to light the menorah. So if it's not lit, then those haven't accomplished their purpose. Unlike, for example, let's say Zrika, you sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach, and then that's it. That's the last thing that needs to be done with that blood. It's not being done for the purpose of something else. Fine. So, by the way, it comes out from the Rambam actually paskins from this, since we're saying that lighting the, well, actually, based on this that we're saying that light in the menorah is not an avoda, the Rambam actually paskins that not only a zor is not chayv misa for light in the menorah, the Rambam paskins even that a zor could light the menorah. The only thing is the menorah is inside the heichal and a zor can't go in there. So you have so what could be is, for example, a kohen could bring the menorah outside and a zor could light it over there. Or another possibility that Rebbe mentions in a footnote to a sicha, that is the zor could light it using a long pole. He could be standing outside in the azara and use a long pole to light it inside. There's a sicha in Chelek Beis where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea. Why should that be so? Why are we saying that on the one hand, the menorah is inside the heichal and it has to be prepared by a kohen, but we're saying the lighting can be done even by a zor? We learn from that a lesson in avoda that any person can be lighting up another yid, but you have to do it in a way that was prepared by the kohen, meaning that you're doing it al pi Torah, not just with your own ideas. But you yourself might not even be worthy to go into the heichal. You have to stand outside and use a long stick to light it. But nevertheless, you do that. You still reach where you can't to be poil on another yid. Okay. So the Gemara. Well, it was. I mean, it weighed a kicker, which is around 150 pounds. Fine. It's, you know, a couple of kohenim could carry it out. Okay.
But the order of lighting the menorah was given to Aaron HaKohen.
That's true. Nevertheless, what we're saying is that the preparing of the menorah has to be done by the kohenim. A zor is not allowed to do them. The lighting of the menorah, according to the Rambam at least, is allowed to be done by a zor, just that practically speaking, it's generally done by the kohenim because it's inside the heichal. But in principle, if a zor did it, it would be kosher. The Rambam is learning based on what we're saying over here in the Gemara, hadlaka lav avodah, that the actual lighting of the menorah is not really considered an avodah.
But how does he get that when the pasuk says Aaron HaKohen and his descendants have to light the menorah?
That's fine. It does say Aaron HaKohen and his descendants have to light the menorah, but nevertheless, we're saying over here that it's still not considered an avoda. The same way as we said before, we had a coin to Rish Lakish that Truma Sadeshin and Hitzah Sadeshin is not considered an avoda, even though generally the Kohenim do it. Just because something is done by the Kohenim doesn't necessarily make it an avoda. You know, you have the shchita of a korban. The shchita of a korban is ksheda bezor. So in that sense, it's not an avoda. But on the other hand, for example, in the sense of that if he has machshava that passels the korban, then he can passel it during that time. So it's considered an avoda and not an avoda at the same time. It's considered an avoda for certain purposes and not an avoda for others. So the same thing over here.
But the fact that the pasuk says it.
One second. Hold on, one at a time. Ellie, you said, yeah. What I'm saying as far as Shchita is that a Zor can do Shchita. It doesn't have to be a Kohen. But if the Zor during the Shchita has a thought that would make the Kohen possible, for example, he has a Machsheves Chutz L'Zmana, that I'm going to eat this Kohen tomorrow, then it becomes Pigul. It's not an Avoida, but in that sense, it is an Avoida. So the same way, yeah. So now what are you saying, Avimoshe?
I'm saying that the Pasuk clearly says, it doesn't talk about Avoda. It says Aaron HaKohen and his descendants have to light the
That's
menorah.
That's fine. Aaron HaKohen and his descendants should light the menorah. But we're saying that if a Zor did it, it is kosher, b'dievin.
What do you mean?
All right, let's go.
It's kosher.
What do you mean? Exactly.
If the Abishta says Aaron HaKohen and his descendants have to light it, how could
Hashem says that Aaron HaKohen and his descendants have to light it, but nevertheless, we're still saying
which
that
excludes everybody else.
Which it means, though, that if it's not, it means that the Kohenim should do it. It's their job. However, if somebody else does it, then it's still kosher. That's what we're saying. That's all we're saying. We're not saying Lachatchila Azor should do it. We're saying B'dievet.
B'dievet.
Okay, so it's not Shana Olawa Kosov Lachim. The Pasuk didn't repeat it twice, and therefore it's not Machim. Okay, anyway, so the Gemara says, Veloy, you're telling me that light in the menorah is not considered an Avoda? Well, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'nostim b'nei Aaron HaKohen eshal ha-mizbeach. Aaron HaKohen's sons should place fire on the Mizbeach. V'ochu etzim ala esh, and they should arrange wood on top of the fire. So what is this? What do we learn from these words that they put esh ala mizbeach? Limit alat sosas alisa. We learn from this about lighting the tinder to if so suppose that one of the marochas, suppose that the fire on one of the marochas is about to go out. Now, let's say all the wood has been burnt up and the fire is about to go out. So the Kohenim have to bring tinder. They have to bring flammable small chips of wood or other flammable material to restart the fire. And shaloi tehel of a Kohen kosher or a clay shoris. That has to be done with a Kohen who's kosher, meaning not a balmum, for example, and with clay shoris. He has to be wearing big dekona. Because it says b'nei Aaron HaKohenim, and that means they have to be wearing the big dekona. So you see that lighting is considered an avodah. So the answer is there's a difference between the two kinds of lighting. Hatzosas alisa avodah, lighting the chips and tinder to relight the fire on the mizbeach is considered an avodah. Hadloka lav avodah, but the lighting of the menorah is not considered an avodah. So again, Tosfos Yeshanim says, like we said before, because Hatzosas alisa, so fine, it's not an avodah tama, because the fact is you still have to put on the two logs of wood on the pile of wood. So every morning there have to be two logs of wood put on. So Hatzosas alisa is not an avodah tama, and for that reason, a zor is not chayiv misa for it. Even though again, obviously he's not supposed to be doing it, the kohen is supposed to be doing it. But when it comes to the menorah, again, the Tosfos Yeshanim says, Shalheves Olam Eileh, the flame goes up on its own. Hatzosas Alisa, what it is you have to light a very large fire. So it's not just Shalheves Olam Eileh, you have to be tending to it and making sure that it actually starts up. Right. So yeah, Tosfos Yeshanim asks your question, Avraham Moshe, that Rabbi Yosef wonders in Tosfos Yeshanim, I mean, if Hadlaka is not an avoider, then why does it say by the Kohenim? But nevertheless, that's what we're saying. It's not considered an avoida in the sense that if a zor does it, it's possible. Again, we're not saying a zor should do it l'chatchila, but if he did it, then it's kosher.
It seems incredible interpretation, but okay.
Okay, that's how it is. All right, let's go. Yeah. Elameat, the Zor Shasidir Samaroch Chayev, based on what we're saying, if a Zor set up the wood pile on the Mizbeach, then he should be Chayev, because that's avoidus matona. And on the face of it, the Gemara is assuming that it's avoidus tama. So here's where Tosfos asks that, listen, the same way as with blood, we said the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach. That's considered avodah tama, even though later on you have other parts of the korban that other things are being done with. So the Gemara is assuming the same thing over here, that once you've finished setting up the wood pile, that's the last avodah that's done with that wood. Yes, you have later on pieces of the korbanos are going to be put on that, but that's something else. So therefore, so putting up the wood pile should be considered avodah tama. They keep on in wood the whole day, but that's not necessarily that they have to. If the fire is going out, then they need to. And the answer is, ikasidur shneg zireitzim. As a matter of fact, yeah, because it's not an avoda tama, because you still have to put on the two logs of wood afterwards. Okay, sidur shneg zirin l'chayev. Fine, so if the zor put on the two gzirim, it should be chayev. The answer is, ikasidur evorid. The answer is that no, it's not that it's true that the last thing that's done with the wood, but the fact is something else is done with that wood pile because the evorim of the korban are placed on it. So the question is, don't we see that Rab Asi says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan that if a Zor put on the two logs of wood, he is Chayev Misa? So according to what we just said, he shouldn't, because it's not avoda tama. So the answer is b'chol pligi. That's exactly the machlokas. Mar savra avoda tama he. One holds that putting on the shnei gzira etzim is avoda tama, because that's the last thing you do as far as making the wood pile. Putting on the avodim is already a whole different avoda. So therefore, Rabbi Yechon would say, I don't care about that. Whereas Rav would say that the fact is you still have to put on the Evorim. And therefore, you can't say that the Avodah of the wood pile is finished until the Evorim are put on it. And therefore, and now that we Akhtara. And Rav already said that Akhtara is a person is Chayev for. Okay, so we have, in short, we have a few different opinions over here. We have Rav saying only four things. Zrika. A zrika, sprinkling of blood or oil or whatever, haktara, burning things on the mizbeach, nisach hamayim and nisach hayayin, those are the only four that a zor is chayev for. Levi adds also trumas hadeshen. Rabbi Yechanan adds also shnei gzireit. Okay. So the Gemara says, Tanya kavasei de Rav, Tanya kavasei de Levi. We actually have a braisa, like both Rav's opinion and like Levi's opinion. Tanya kava say the Rav, avodas shazor chayv aleim misa, the avodas for which a zor is chayv misa, is as follows. Zrikas dam bein lefnai v'lefnim, sprinkling blood, whether it takes place inside the heichol or in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, ala poroichas or bein abadim, and v'hamaza b'chata sa'oif, also somebody who sprinkles the blood of the chata sa'oif on the mizbeach, v'hamamatzah, also the one who squeezes out the blood from the bird's body onto the mizbeach, which you do with an oila sa'if, v'hamakter b'oila sa'if, and also someone who burns the oila sa'if on the mizbeach. Now, obviously, the same thing would be if he burns the ketores or if he burns the pieces of the animal as well. The Braisa is just mentioning examples of hazah and examples of akhtara. V'hamanasach shloisha lugin mayim, shloisha lugin yayin, or if he pours three lug of water or three lug of wine on the mizbeach, that's the nisach hamayim and nisach hayayin, which we said that Rav said a zor is chayv nisach. So that's it. According to that braisa, that's the whole list. Tanya kavasei de Levi. On the other hand, we learn a braisa like Levi. Avodas shazor chayv aleim misa, or hamerim es hadeshen, trumas hadeshen, which Levi had in his list. The sheva hazois shibifnim, the seven hazois that take place inside the heichel of the blood of the porim and israfim with sirim and israfim, of the sheva mitzora, and the seven sprinklings of the oil of the mitzora. And also somebody who burns something on the mizbeach, whether it's kosher or whether it's posel. Now, posel for this purpose, Rashi explains, is when it's psule bakodesh, when it's the kind of thing where we have the rule, im olu lo yerdu, where it's not something that should be placed on the mizbeach, but if it was, then bidyevet, we allow it to stay there. So those kinds of things, that's considered aktara. Obviously, if a zor puts something on the mizbeach, then im olu yerdu, the kind of things that even if you put them on the mizbeach, have to be taken down, he's not chayv misa for that, because that's not aktara. Okay, so we have braises like both of them. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Loma Mephisin. Okay, so now we're done with the discussion of Terumas Hadeshen. Now we're getting back to the pious that we said in the Mishnah, that we do a pious. At first, they didn't do a pious for Terumas Hadeshen, unless people were tied. Later on, they made it as a standard thing you have, and then there were three other piyosis done throughout the day to hand out the different avodas. So that's it. There's a machlokas. The usual rules apply when we have a machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Yechanan. Usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yechanan. And that's how it is over here. The Rambam passes like Rabbi Yechanan. So you have the four avodas that Rav mentioned, plus shnei gzireitzim. So altogether, five avodas for which a zor would be chayiv misa. Any of the others are either he's potter because not avoda tama, or because it's avoda silu. Lighting the menorah, again, we said, is not considered a full-fledged avoida. Therefore, if a zor does it, then Amam holds that, unlike, again, most things we're saying, most other avoidas, we're saying a zor should not do them, and he's warned in the Torah not to do them, but he only gets malchus, not misa, and usually that would make the avoida posel. For example, if a zor does kabbalah sadam, then the korban is posel. Unless the Mishnah says in Zvachim, if there's still more blood available, if there's still more dam and nefesh available, the Zohar didn't catch all of it, then fine, a kohen kosher can catch the rest of it. But ordinarily, a Zohar doesn't avoid it. He makes it possible. The menorah is a unique exception. We're saying because light in the menorah is not really considered an avoida, that therefore the Rambam paskins that if a Zohar does it, it actually works. It actually, the mitzvah has been accomplished, even though it was done by Israel. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Loma Mephisin, why do we make a pious? I said, what kind of a question is that? Lomophis Kadamoran. We said at the beginning of the parak, why? Because people were arguing and people are stabbing each other and people are knocking each other off the Mizbeach, and therefore we need to make a pious. Now, the question is, why do we do piouses again and again? We gather the kohenim multiple times throughout the day to do a pious. Why don't we, at the beginning, we'll do one pious after another, one to determine who does Trumas Adeshen, or even we can do one big pious. We can say, for example, let's say we pick a number, as we said, we count around the circle, we reach a person, we tell them, you get Trumas Adeshen, the one next to you shechts the korban tumah, the one next to you sprinkles it, or whatever. Or fine, if we want to have separate piouses, then fine, we do them one after the other. Instead, what we have is they're done at different times in the day in the Bais Hamikdash. Why is that? So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kedela Haugish Kol HaAzara, in order to make a big noise and a big commotion in the Azara. In other words, that it's a covered for the king, that you see that the Azara is busy, that people are always running around and doing things. So, therefore, we want to have the Kohenim gather many times for the pious to show honor for Hashem. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Asher Yachdav Namtik Soid, Together we would have sweet secrets. We would share sweet secrets of Torah. Bevei Salakim, Nahalach Berogesh, we would walk in the house of Hashem with a tumult, with a commotion. Because it's an honor to Hashem to show that the Bais Hamikdash is a happening place. So, in fact, these are the two things that it says in Pirkei Avos that David learned two dinim from Achitofel. And therefore we call them Rabbi Alufim Yodoi. We have in Perek Vav of Pirkei Avos. That's based on this pasuk, actually, two dinim that Achitofel taught him. One is that you should learn Torah together with another person, actually Yachtav Namtik Soid, not by yourself. And number two, that you should run to shul, Bevei Salakim, Nahalach Berogesh. But here the Gemara is taking that in a somewhat different sense. Not just that it's true that you should run to shul or to the Bais Medrash, but also it means within Bais Salakim itself, you should be bedrogish. It shouldn't just be that everything is very calm and quiet. You gather the people too many times together during the day in order to show honor to the Bais Hamikdash that it's a place where things are happening. Okay. To be continued, we'll continue with discussing the pious and how they ran the pious tomorrow, Bais Hashem.
Shkayach.
Okay.